This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Come here. Welcome to the famous Foxes Aftermath Show, live every Sunday on Leicester Fan TV. Come on, you Foxes. Good morning, Foxes. How the devil are you today? How's your weekend been so far? Well, we've got a special show again for you this week. It's a top four chat with Leeds, Ipswich, Southampton. I hope you're ready for this. You know what day it is. It's Sunday. It's 10 o'clock. So it's time for the famous Foxes Aftermath Show. Run by the fans, for the fans, and your opinion matters. So get them comments in. Let's get going. It's kickoff time. Come on, you Foxes.
The Leicester City machine is on the march again.
Leicester Fan TV presents a variety of content, like fan discussions, match analysis, and engaging with Leicester fans worldwide. We want your views live. Thanks to our sponsors, Everons, Follow Blinds, Pocker Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Distillers Direct, Hologram, Take Me, Nubian Co., and the Foxes Arms and Rainbows. We are live in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, all you Leicester fans, all you Ipswich fans, Southampton fans and Leeds fans out there. We've got a great show for you this week. Last week was my 300th show with Guillaume Balaguer. If you need to watch it, you can find it on YouTube. This week, I've pulled out all the stops to get the big guns. We've got Joe from Just Joe Football Show Leeds, Benjamin Bloom, Ipswich and Glenn from Total Saints Podcast. But let's bring them all in. Let's get going because all friends of the show, we all need to chat. Morning, Joe. How are you, pal?
Yes, all good, mate. Thank you very much for having me on. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Guillaume Balaguer was on, wasn't he? Yeah, Enzo's best friend. Best friend.
Yes, he's a good lad. He's a Leicester fan now, living in Leicester. Yeah, I've seen. Big mates with Enzo. Let's bring Benjamin Bloom in. Morning, Ben. How are you, pal?
I'm lovely. I'm just here for Joe's baiting within about 5 seconds of this start, and that's tremendous.
I know, it's good, it's good. I'm going to bring Glenn in as well. Hopefully Glenn doesn't mind being part of this, being like fourth at the minute and a little bit out of it. How are you, Glenn?
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm under no illusions about our place in things at the moment, and it's nice to be invited in the chat. You obviously still see us as a threat, so otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Well, you being here is quite helpful because you play all the three other clubs. You play Ipswich, us and Leeds, which could be helpful. As long as we beat you and you beat the other two, that'd be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I'd probably take that, to be honest.
Joe, we're going to start with you because you might have to nip off in a minute. At Christmas time, you and Locks, your best mate Locks, you're all having a bit of banter about how you were 17 points behind us and you had absolutely no chance of catching us up. What you got to say to Locks now, Joe?
Yeah, well, it's funny, isn't it? I think he still tells me mathematically you can get the points record. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe it is. But yeah, it's quite funny to see the journey that my good friend Locks has been on, because if you look over the past week or so since this FFP, and I know we don't need to get into that, but he's had a pure meltdown. So he's gone from having the points record to now. I did a show last night and he dipped in and said, we are going to drop out of the top two. We won't go up through the playoffs. We won't be able to sign any players. And we're going to be stuck in the championship for eternity. So this is football. This is what it can do to people, isn't it? So, yeah, it's been fun. And I know you've got a game in hand, but to sit top of the tree for these 10, 12 days, just for me anyways, I'd like. And I assume for Farker. Farker says he doesn't focus on the table. But when Dan James put that second goal in, I've not seen him celebrate like that at all. He normally just keeps it like this, but he really went for it because he knew just how important sitting top of the tree was for this international break. I think it has a real boost mentally for the players, for him. And also, look at you guys. It's like, oh wow, okay, 17 points claw back and now the top. It's a big deal.
It certainly is. Just one last thing on Locks. We've now called him Mr. 180 because he's done a full U-turn completely.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever you see him next, call him Mr. 180 and he'll love you for that.
Do you know what else he said? Sorry, just to dig him out a little bit further.
just how
quick he flip-flops. Harvey Barnes came on in the first Newcastle game, right, and scored a goal. And then he made the claim that Harvey Barnes would win PFA Player of the Year. That's the kind of guy that we're dealing with after a goal off the bench. So, yeah, that's Locks for you, mate. You know, wild takes.
It is. We'll just jump onto your fixtures. Yeah. These are your fixtures you've got. You've got 8 games, like you say. We've got a game in hand of you. Southampton have got 2 games in hand of you. And Ipswich have got the same amount of games. You've got Watford, Hull, Coventry, the M69 scum just down the road from us, Sunderland, Blackburn, Middlesbrough, QPR and Southampton. That's going to be a big game, that last game of the season, isn't it? You versus Southampton, that could be a huge, momentous game for you.
I don't think so. And the reason I say is I think top two or Leeds United's promotion will be settled by that point. I genuinely believe that. I don't see that having any bearing. It could have a bearing on the title, because I think we're in a title race. But as for automatic promotion, I think it'll be settled by then. I'm not saying like 3 games before then, but I think that one there won't matter all that much. If I'm being totally honest, I can only speak my truth. I think Leeds United will have it sewn up by that point. I think the fixtures that we've got, look, if I'm being realistic, I don't know if we'll get beat. To say that's a wild take if people are watching this. We've just gone 13 games unbeaten, conceding only 3 goals, and they're all from set pieces. So we haven't conceded a goal from open play. We're flying. I'd back us to win all our home games. So I think by that point, mate, it might help use if we win, because then you might get top two still. But as for Leeds United, we'll already be sorted, mate, I think.
Ben, you do more than just Ipswich. You do the whole league, which, like me and Glenn were saying earlier, we've only got small minds. We can't comprehend the whole league. We only can do one club. What's your take on what's happened with Leeds at the minute as a championship outsider, well, not championship outsider, as a content that creates championship work?
It's entirely predictable, really, isn't it? You've got probably, you know, arguably the best squad, the most qualified manager. I've discussed this with Joe at length. Daniel Farker, once he gets everything kind of into gear, we've seen him go on huge winning streaks in his 2 runs and his 2 championship titles with Norwich. There were obviously issues at the start of the season with the ownership and the takeover and, you know, some players agitating. That was very well dealt with. And I mean, you tell me, you know, is it any great surprise that that combination of players at that particular club, you know, at this level with that manager, obviously, look, winning well, he's 12 in 13 is absurdly good. That's really, really good. You know, if someone wins eight in a row, we're like, okay, you're probably going up with that run. And Leicester did nine, yeah. I think, earlier in the season. Saints did 23 in the EFL unbeaten or something, yeah. Something to that effect, wasn't it? So it's not a great surprise. I mean, lots of people try and tell me, oh, well, not all relegated teams do well. Well, that doesn't, you know, take away the fact that they bloody well should do. And I'm not really greatly surprised. The real surprise this season is just the outlandish points totals by everybody and yeah. the big elephant in the room that one of our teams could score 93, 5, 7, 99 points and lose in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. This, I mean, the top three clubs can still get over, oh, can still break the record. Southampton can be 3 points short. They've got to win. I know it can't happen because, but there's still a chance it could happen. It's just, it's a stupid season that four clubs are still in a chance at Easter of making the title or going up. It's absolutely stupid. I've never known a season like it. I mean, Ipswich have done really well. And if anything, Ben, my team of the season would be Ipswich because they've come up from League One after, what's his, Kieran McKenna, isn't it? Your manager,
yeah,
he's done really well, and I think they should be because no one thought Leeds would still be at this time of year. Ipswich would be up this that time of year. They thought they would slip and fall down a bit. They had a little bit of a slip, but they've come back fighting. And even if they don't win the league or get promoted, I think Ipswich should be team of the year, and because I think they play a decent style of football, and they deserve it to be where they are.
Well, I think most reasonable people, I mean, you get these cult-like fans of clubs who can't compliment another team and just think everything their team does is the best thing since sliced bread. But most reasonable fans with a brain would say, relative to expectations, you would expect Ipswich to be 20 points behind a year one parachute team. And the fact that they're ahead of one and, you know, what is it, 1 point behind Leicester and, and Leeds is relative to expectations is incredible, but we'll see how that transpires during the run-in where maybe the ability to throw in a 10 million quid substitute to win you a game late on might be the difference, mightn't it?
It's them canaries, Ben. It's them canaries, Ben. You've still got to play Norwich.
Stop it. They're very good, aren't they? They are very good.
Well, talking of Ipswich, let's just get the Ipswich where we are. Here we are. Here's your fixtures, Ben. You have got Blackburn, Bolton, Norwich, a derby game against Norwich. Is that the week after? That's the end of
Easter
week.
Well, I'd definitely rather play Bolton than Southampton,
I was going to say.
Oh, did I say Bolton? Sorry.
You did. We'll take Bolton rather than Southampton. Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, I don't know why I said Bolton. Bloody hell. Blackburn, Stoke, Southampton, Norwich, Watford, Middlesbrough, Cov again. See, Middlesbrough and Cov, for us, Middlesbrough and Coventry play all you guys. That's going to be helpful. So there's three teams for us. Southampton, Glen, Borough and Coventry all play you guys. There's nine big games for us, which could hopefully help us out, Ben.
Sorry, before I go on to that, please put that ridiculous comment from Reedy DZN up about luck. Put that up. I want to respond to that before we do anything.
Hold on a minute. Let me just get rid of...
Get him, Ben.
Is this the narrative that Ipswich have somehow been lucky?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Put that comment up. I just want to address that complete idiocy.
Hold on a minute.
Put it up on the screen.
There we go. That
one. Ipswich seem to be getting a lot of luck. Reedy DZN, if you think a promoted League One team having 81 points against three teams with five times the amount of broadcast money, when we think we're going to get the greatest points totals in Championship history across the top four, is luck. I don't know. This is Gareth Keenan blaming the calculator because he can't add up, isn't it? We're at that level. So that's just absurd. If you want to give me... And by the way, if you think scoring late goals is lucky, then Alex Ferguson, the greatest manager of all time, was a very lucky manager. Anyway, put the fixtures back up. Ridiculous.
Right, hold on a minute. Right. Do you want to... I can tell you who that is. Reedy, turn your camera on. You're coming in. Reedy, turn your camera on. I bet he won't. Here he is. Right. You can actually Reedy, now ask the question again, live face to face.
Go. Or give examples of good luck.
No, like, for me, it feels like, obviously, at the start of the season, we were getting a lot of the late goals and people were saying that's how we're playing, where we're scoring late because we're tiring teams out. I don't know, like, for me, it's like, how is Ipswich up there? And I've even said to Jamie as well that I feel like Ipswich have been the best team in the season because of how well they're doing. But it just seems
so... They were lucky a minute ago.
No, I don't know.
You said they were lucky.
I don't know whether it's luck or more just.
You're doing a 180 here, Reed.
I feel like it's lucky because it's like they miss a penalty and then they score one anyway. It feels like it just. They're against us. It feels like it's all against us. I'm just saying for me, like,
What do you mean it's all against you?
You had a 17-point gap. 17.
Oh no, I know.
There's only one manager.
There's only
club
so many banana
for.
Skins you can fall over. Bad luck to lose a 17-point advantage, Joseph.
Is a goal in the first minute worth more than a goal in the last minute? I don't think it is.
When you say last minute, Glenn, do you mean the 90th minute or the 100th minute?
It doesn't matter.
Did Ipswich not lose to a 95th and a 100th minute goal to Cardiff in rather unlucky fashion, or do we conveniently forget that? Really, let me just say it right here. Last thing I'll say, the idea that either deflected goals or late goals are purely down to good luck is nonsense. No. Because if you put a team in the wrong place, Ipswich scored a double deflected goal to equalise against Leicester, didn't they? But yeah. Leicester didn't take their chances when they were dominating in the first half of that game. Ipswich then pushed against the league leaders, were brave, got Leicester into a position where that shot could cannon in. And yeah, you can say in isolation, a deflected shot is lucky, but that removes all the nuance from it. And frankly, is quite disrespectful for a League One team with an nth degree of the budget and the player level and quality of Leicester to have a good go at them and get a point where really Leicester should be burying Ipswich, not drawing both games. He's gone.
He's talking to his grandma. His grandma's there. I know that. But I'm going to drop him out anyway now.
Is she defining to him what luck is?
He's here.
I'll give you it, grandson.
Yeah, you're out, grandson. She's watching you downstairs and she's trying to don't embarrass me anymore, Reader. That's what she's saying. What I was going to say is, Ben, you said there about taking your chances. And I've been saying this to Reedy and a lot of Leicester fans. We don't take the chances. We don't kill games off. Ipswich, we didn't kill games off. Leeds, unfortunately, Joe's just gone. Leeds, we don't kill
games off. In
the
two games against Ipswich, you were really dominant for periods. And I'm sitting there as an Ipswich fan going, oh, this is not going so well. But you can then bemoan luck when there's a deflected goal in stoppage time, or you can... You know, look at the big picture. And I think when it comes down to arguments of luck, I think we're...
I think I probably used the wrong word with luck. What I'm saying is I feel like at times it feels like everything that... If we do something bad, it feels like it's going against us. So it just feels like how lucky can Ipswich be to score late on or do this, that. So
I disagree with the premise that scoring a late goal is down to luck. I absolutely disagree with that.
I agree with Ben there. It's not luck because they constantly...
No, it's not luck. It just feels like it is going against us. But that, again, like Joe says, we were 17 points clear. We can't bloody moan at all, can we?
Really, I'm going to drop you out because this is meant to be a friendly chat. I can see this getting into a bit more...
It's all good fun. Yeah. It's all good fun.
I will drop you out for a minute. There you go. He's gone himself. I didn't even have to do it. Glenn, you're four. Southampton. Oh, no, here we go. This is not the negative moment, but... You're fourth, you're on 73 points, you're only 8 points behind Ipswich, but you've got two games in hand. One against us, and I can't remember who the other one is against, the extra game in hand.
It's against Preston because someone set fire to the ground, or very near to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Game a couple of weeks. Yeah.
So what's your view of it? Because you're the one that's probably fourth favourite at the minute.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we're kind of hanging in there. But a hell of a lot of things have to go in our favour in order for us to make a run at the top two. We've made a mess of it over the we had a little four-game spell where we lost three and ironically won the most difficult one, which was West Brom away. But that's kind of killed it. We'd got to the stage where after the long unbeaten run, we'd got ourselves into second place for a week. And then we played Bristol City away, lost. We were always going to lose at some point because you can't, you know, go 35 games unbeaten or whatever it would have been to the end of the season. So we're always going to lose at some point, but it's how you react to that. And we didn't react particularly well. We had a key injury with Flynn Downes getting injured. And Russell Martin didn't really trust his replacement. As a young lad called Shay Charles, didn't really trust him. So he tried to get a bit clever with covering that and playing people out of position and all that stuff. And we had the win at West Brom, but then we subsequently lost at home to Hull, which was pathetic, and Millwall, which was even more pathetic. And in this season where, you know, you have to get a ridiculously high points tally to finish in the top two, you can't afford to be losing to Millwall at home. And you can't afford to be losing two consecutive home games. So that's where we are. We've got the fixture pile up from hell as well. You know,
yeah.
Bearing in mind that game that was called off because of the fire and because Leicester had that pointless trip to Chelsea in the FA Cup.
I wouldn't say point. Hey, we came away with nothing. But
absolutely. It was pointless then, isn't it?
We had a confidence-boosting defeat. That's what I called it the other day. It was a confidence-boosting defeat.
Okay, you take that and add to your recent confidence-boosting home form in the league.
Well, if you look at it at the minute, I mean, Joe's going to love this because Leeds are top the last five games. Joe's top of the table. Leeds have got, well, he is top of the table, no matter whether it's Leeds or Joe. You've got 13 points from the last five games. Ipswich have got 12 points in second place in the form. Southampton, ninth place with 9 points. And us, big old Leicester, who went 4 points from the last five games. That's bad form, isn't it, when you look at it?
Well, if Leeds keep going the way they're going, then no one's going to catch them. And their form since the new year has been relentless. I think it's just one draw, isn't it, so far?
Yeah, it's one draw in the last five.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that is ridiculous. Ipswich, I know they had a little bit of a wobble there, one win in eight at one point, I think. And
nine.
I think most people were kind of looking at Ipswich thinking, oh, they may well sort of like fall away now. But then they won six in a row, which is ridiculous. Lost the game against, was it Cardiff? And it seems to be the way this season that when, you know, the four teams at the top, they lose one game, they tend to lose the second one. So I was looking at Ipswich in their game against Sheffield Wednesday thinking, oh, they might have a bit of a reaction here, and they go and win 6-0. So it shows that there was no sort of hangover there. Saints have had, we've had, our defeats this season, we've had seven defeats, but they've come in batches. That run of four games that I mentioned there and the four games at the start of the season, when expensively we managed to lose to both Ipswich and Leicester at home. Again, with poor performances brought on by sort of overthinking the team and stuff like that. And our best performance of the season, ironically, was at the end of that run, which was against Leeds, which was a relatively comfortable win. But, you know, that... And that was the start of our big run. But out of the three teams represented here, Leicester were the best team against us. Ipswich weren't great, but got over the line, and we beat Leeds relatively comfortably. But that was all a long time ago. So these three games coming up, obviously we're away from home in all three of them against you guys. That's obviously going to make or break us. But you know, the 10 games we've got left. I mean, I'm looking at our other fixtures, Borough, Blackburn, Coventry, Watford, Preston, Cardiff, Stoke. There really isn't a lot of room for error in there if we're going to challenge the top two. So we've probably got to win all of those and come away with draws at least against you three guys to have any sort of chance whatsoever. So it's going to be very, very difficult for us to get involved, I think.
It is. Joe and Ben, at the same time, we'll ask Joe first. I was asked a question the other day. Are most Leicester fans looking at the league table now all the time? Yeah, I'll go on, start with Ben first. Are all Ipswich fans looking at league tables now and thinking, oh, let's hope they win, or we've got to win these and they've got that team? Are you constantly looking at the league table? Because a lot of Leicester fans are doing that now after being so far and relying on other results. Or are you just doing the old mantra, take one game at a time?
I suppose it's a bit different for Ipswich to, I mean, definitely to Leicester, because it looked like you were going to be coast. This was the victory lap now, these last eight games, and you coast over the line.
We were hoping.
And took the title. That's how it looked for the longest time. But as I said earlier, somebody is just going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I have to say, Ipswich in their history have been quite good at being in the wrong place at the wrong time, getting relegated in the ITV digital bust season and then, going into administration and never really recovered for that. But that's not a discussion for today. Look, obviously, everybody's looking at the league table. Everybody's looking at the fixtures and, you know, you can't help but do it. You look at a weekend where maybe you're at home and, I don't know, Southampton have got to go away somewhere difficult. And we're even looking at the bunching with, particularly with Leicester and Saints playing in midweek. Now Coventry are in the cup semi-final. So we now have this potentially most nerve-wracking game in the history of life away to Coventry in the midweek. I think it's like between round 45 and round 46 could just be literally the most high-stakes game in.
Also, when they play the semi-final, they were meant to be playing you, were they?
Yeah, so April the 20th is when the Coventry game was supposed to be. And congratulations to Coventry, obviously, for getting through. Yeah, April the 30th now. So literally in the midweek before round 46. And I must admit, I do tend to agree with Joe that the Leeds-Southampton game might not have as much impact as if it was in round 42 being in round 46. I think the Leicester-Southampton game will certainly have a lot more impact. But yes, in answer to that question, we're all looking at it. You can't do anything about it, Kane. It's going to be what it's going to be. And with the way it's gone, if you lose a game, you can be sure the other three sides are all going to win. And, everything looks terrible. And then it can flip around the next day. It's going to be a fantastically tense and brilliant run. I'm literally getting nervous thinking about that Coventry game if we're still in with a shout, you know, between round 45 and round 46. But anyway, you were going to Joe anyway, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Joe, well, before you had to take a toilet break, according to one of your fans, we're asking about league tables and that. Are you Leeds fans looking at the table more now than what you were like two or three months ago?
You would have to, right? When you're sitting top of the tree, you need to see who's there, who's coming up on your coattails, as it were. But I think, I just want to echo what Ben said. I'm excited, if more than anything. I think, we return back on Friday. What a day of football Friday is, by the way.
Yeah, huge day.
Oh, such a great day. And then also Easter Monday as well. So I'm really looking forward to the amount of football that we're going to get, and hopefully Leeds, like I say, come out on top. I need to put my son's clothes on now. He's come and said, I need my top putting on, Dad. So,
okay, what are you doing? Putting a Leeds top on him, are you?
It's something like that.
You're going to score him for life, putting that on him.
Can I just chime in on what Joe said about Friday, where we could have, I believe, if Leicester play first and win, they would go top.
Yeah.
Then if Ipswich win at 5:30, they would go top. And then if Leeds win at 8, they would go top. So it could be. Yeah. And it's very likely the way this season's gone.
Oh, it could be. It could be. And if Southampton win, well, they'll just be still in fourth.
Unless you get your points deduction, then we'll be third.
Oh, look, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
And you'll be 17th.
I wasn't even going to mention anything, but we'll talk about that as a story for another day, to be honest. But like Ben and Joe have just said, Glenn, are you still excited for the last 10 games you've got? Or is it because you're a little bit further behind, you're not quite excited as us three?
I think at the start of the season, you got to remember, out of the relegated clubs, we got relegated the best. You know, we were shocking. We were so much worse than Leeds and Leicester last year. So where we came from was new manager, new style of football, new squad of players, basically. And I think everyone would have taken the playoffs at the start of the season. When we had the unbeaten run, obviously your expectations changed and we closed in. Ipswich was second at the time. And we closed in, I don't know how many points we got up, something like 12 points. and we actually got ourselves into second place. And at that point, I was looking at the league table thinking, yes, if we keep this going for another five or six games, I was hoping that, you know, Leeds would obviously lose a couple, which they didn't. And I was kind of hoping that we'd do what Leeds had done. You know, if we'd won four or five games and the others had a bit of a blip, it hasn't happened that way. So the way I'm feeling about it now, I'm very much of the, it's just my nature. I don't really look at league tables because I think they look after themselves. Obviously, you know, you win your game, you might have a little glance at it and think, yeah, okay, the league table's looking after itself. We're catching up. But now we've fallen away a bit. I guess I will kind of be looking at it a little bit more. But the way the other three teams are going, if you check and the other three teams have all won, it's no point in looking at it, is there? It's just So I'm excited for the end of the season. It's just, you know, for Saints, we've got, I think it's 10 games left, is it?
Yeah, 10, yeah.
As I say, we have got the fixture pile up, as Ben said. I think that midweek where you're probably playing Coventry, that's the only midweek where we haven't got a game. It was really annoying because when the Preston game got called off because of the fire.
Now that is bad luck.
There you go. Well, we could have played that the following week because Preston didn't have a midweek game, and nor did we because our game gets less. But apparently, Preston didn't want to, and that annoyed me that the league didn't step in and say, well, no, it's clearly better to play it.
Both
teams have to agree. Preston didn't want to do it. So consequently, we've got, I think we've got 10 games in 35 days or something like that. So it's as I said earlier, it's going to be very, very difficult, but it could be a potentially a very exciting end to the season. But we've got to put ourselves in the position for it to be an exciting end of the season for us. It could be dreadful for us because if we lose two or three games, then we're going to be playoffs and these are going to be glorified friendlies. You know, that could be the worst case scenario.
Question here, Glenn. Do you think you will win the playoffs if you finish third or fourth?
It never seems to be the case, does it? I mean, I'm not a great student of the championship. Maybe I think Ben would probably have a better idea than me how often the teams finishing third or fourth actually go up.
The numbers, Glenn, it's fairly predictable. Disproportionately, third beats sixth in that semi-final. You do get the odd surprise. Fourth and fifth, as you'd imagine, is a lot closer.
Pretty close.
And the final is normally a free-for-all. So if sixth does get into the final, it almost goes 50-50 then. But you would be, but this will be the one season, won't it, where we could have a record gap between third and sixth and then sixth go and beat them in the semi.
I remember when Leicester were in the playoffs under Brian Nicol and Martin O'Neill.
Pompey.
Yeah, we never. Yeah, yeah, Pompey was so far ahead of us, 20 odd points, maybe more, and finishing in third. And we beat them in the semi final, but then we lost in the final. But I don't think a team that finished third went up when we were in them playoffs or made it to the final. Third, I think the head goes, doesn't it, Ben, a bit? To finish third.
What I will say about that, if you do check the history, when the playoffs started in the 90s, people weren't savvy to it and they were just open, crazy games. If you take those first kind of 10 years out of the numbers, it very, very much goes with the league table. And it's one of my pet hates, people saying it's a lottery. It's really not. It's tournament football. And normally, you know, with the odd exception, normally the best teams prevail. But you get surprises for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you certainly do. You certainly do. And Ben, as you're like the aficionado of the championship with what you do, if Coventry were to get in the playoffs and have a semi-final of the FA Cup, or even get to the final, I'm very doubtful they'll get to the final, but is that going to hit the confidence being in the semi-final? Are they going to concentrate on that, or will they get to the playoffs? Because Coventry are six at the minute, aren't they? If I remember rightly.
No, Norwich are six.
Norwich are sick.
Which is even worse.
Yeah. Can you imagine the semi-final if you slip to third, if you finish third and you get Norwich?
Do you know, I probably wouldn't even watch it. It'd just be
too much. Your record against them is not great, is it?
Is it, Glenn? It's bloody dreadful, yeah.
I did know that.
But in terms of someone like Coventry, this is where we get into the whole tournament football thing, where there's almost an argument that a Carlos Corberon or a Mark Robbins, who knows how to play defensive football, and look how Coventry beat Middlesbrough last year, is almost a better bet than any of our managers who are going to try and process and outscore them. So there's, I would not be surprised if one of our teams is in the playoffs, if good old Carlos Corberon shows up and wins with 35% possession and West Brom are in the final. It's tournament football, man.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to ask the last question on who's going to go up, because we all want to go up. We all want to finish second. We don't want to be in the playoffs apart from Glenn, because that's probably the only way Glenn's going to be at the minute.
I don't think we're not going to be in the playoffs from point of view of finishing below sixth. But yeah, we'll see. Long way to go.
I must admit, we haven't been in the Championship for 9 years now, and it seems like some of the football has been really, maybe not watching from a Leicester City point of view, our football isn't exciting as like watching Leeds and Ipswich play and even Southampton on that run. But the actual league in general has been very exciting this year, hasn't it?
Sorry, can I push back against that? For about 15 minutes in both the games between Leicester and Ipswich, Leicester were brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, we're getting hammered today. It's just been the intensity. And this comes back to my comment about Mr. Daniel Farke really knows what he's doing in terms of those marginal wins. And I was really interested when Glenn was talking about the difference between an unbeaten streak with draws in and a winning streak. Yeah. And that's the key, isn't it? But I think you do your side down a little bit. When they're at the best, Leicester are superb.
Oh, yeah. But we're not consistently at our best. We play, you said, there was in both games for 15 minutes. Game lasts for 90 minutes. Against Leeds, shame Joe's had to go now, but for 80 minutes, we were playing some outstanding football, and it was them last 10 minutes that killed it off. Against Southampton, when we stuffed you 4-1, when we were 5 goals short of the 9 goal bingo we normally play at Southampton. we played some outstanding football then, but we don't do it consistently. We only do it 15, 20 minutes here, and we don't, like I said earlier, we don't kill games off. But watching some of the games I've watched, it seems to be more exciting in the Championship than playing Premiership football, for me anyway.
It's very different. I mean, and this year, that you got to remember, we're all supporting clubs that are doing very, very well. I mean, I look at the, obviously with Ipswich, with all due respect, it's a surprise, bearing in mind where they come from. But when you look at the fixtures that you've got left, you've got 10 games, and you see teams that are below the playoffs, somewhere between the playoffs and the relegation zone, and you really are thinking it has to be 3 points. I mean, and this season is exceptional. It's a shame for Ipswich in a way, and well, it's a shame for anyone who misses out in a way that this season it is the way it is. I think next season, you look at the teams that are going to come down from the Premier League, they're not going to be anywhere near as strong as the three teams that have come down this year.
Glenn, if I may, real quickly, and not wanting to go down the FFP thing, that with Nottingham Forest having been charged and Everton being charged, there's an argument that the Premier League was a bit doped last season, and that, you know, you've got even more disproportionately strong teams with Southampton and Leeds, you know. I know Leicester being charged now.
We'd have gone down anyway, mate. No matter what.
But you take my point, don't you? That
you've got
teams surviving who have, you know, broken the spending rules. So, you know, along with my favourite topic of the distributions and the parachute payments and the brilliant squads and everything, you've got that as well. So, yeah, it's been crazy. Why is this guy obsessed with my hair? Is he bald?
Which one?
Graham.
Oh, yeah, LCFC. Yeah. Oh, great. Graham LCFC. I don't know, actually.
I'm just jealous you've got the choice.
I am, actually. I'm jealous. Mine's gone. I used to have long flowing locks, but not quite like that. But mine's gone now completely.
We prefer to talk about the football, Graham, I think, rather than my hair.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's been We're going to call it quits there because me and Rudy are going to talk about the old financial fair play with a few Leicester fans now. But Ben, it's been much appreciated joining us on a Sunday morning. I know it's hard work getting up on a Sunday morning because I have to do it.
I've got a toddler, mate. I was up at 6. Don't worry about that.
That's much appreciated. Thanks a lot. And Glenn, just one thing, Glenn,
yes, before
we go. Have you stopped doing tribute work to Ralph Hasenhüttl now?
Yeah, well, I don't look too much like him anymore. I think
you don't now, do you? Because
he's got himself sorted out. He's had a couple of years off or a year off, and he's got himself looking less stressed, and he's just taking the job at Wolfsburg. So I'm looking forward to see how he gets on, actually. So that should be a good fit for him.
Because when we first had him on all those years ago, Glenn, you were spitting image of him, and people were asking.
Yeah.
You've sort of shaved your beard a little bit now, haven't you?
People thought you'd actually got the Saints manager on, which was...
You did. I know you got the Saints manager on? Everyone was surprised.
I know you're big news, Jamie, but you ain't that big. So,
I had given you the last week, so I can't be that bad. Ben, you were just about to say something before I went to Glenn then.
I was just about to say, please don't miss character. That was banter earlier with the other guy. Don't think I'm a horrible bully shooting down the other fella. Someone would clean it out and make me look like a right arsehole, weren't they?
It was shooting fish in a barrel, though, wasn't it? I mean, it really was.
And now Reedy comes out with some cracking comments. He didn't even know where Wrexham was the other week, last year. He hasn't got a clue where Wrexham was. So he drops himself in it all the time.
Just one final thing, Jamie. When you advertise as Leicester Fan TV, can you be Leicester asterisk from now on? Because you're going to go away and discuss your FFP stuff now. You're going to have an asterisk over your name in the same way that Manchester City have got one over their name. And
Man City haven't got one yet. And that probably won't ever happen because I still think there's a bit of top six bias conspiracy.
Of course there is.
Make the big club bigger and the small club struggle. But that's a totally different story. But Glenn, it's been much appreciated. Thank you for joining.
No worries, mate.
And we'll see you again soon, hopefully, probably before the Southampton game, we'll have a little chat.
Absolutely.
Cheers, pal. Thank you. And Ben, once again, thank you for joining on a Sunday morning. Hope your littling hasn't missed you that much.
Oh, she's at grandma's now, so she'll be way happier. But no, absolute pleasure. Good luck for everyone for the rest of the season. And yeah, let's just all comfort each other in knowing that someone's going to score a massive amount of points and not get promoted. And we'll just be there for whoever that set of fans are when it inevitably happens.
Can you imagine all three clubs, the top three clubs, breaking the record and still not go, or even getting 100 points and still not going up?
Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre. Cheers, Ben. Thanks a lot, mate. We shall see you again soon. Much appreciated. Cheers, mate. Right, let's get Reedy in now. We're going to have a little bit of a chat about the old financial fair play. Here is Reedy. That was good, wasn't it, Reedy? You had some banter off Mr. Benjamin Bloom. You took it well. He took it well.
I know, right? I admit, I probably shouldn't have said the word luck, but again, I was saying in the comment before that I think because of how biased fans are to their team, it feels like everything's against them at times when you're not in the greatest of positions or form. So, yeah.
Yeah. We're just going to have a couple of minutes on this bloody financial fair play thing. I mean, I'm not sure, 100% sure of the rules, but I don't know. Is it a bit of a conspiracy theory against... it could be a theory, really, that it's all towards the top six clubs, making them bigger and the smaller clubs smaller?
I don't know, because before we got relegated, we were in that sort of top six form. We were top four. Obviously, we didn't make the top four at all, but... We were doing a lot of stuff that the top six was kind of dreaming of, winning the FA Cup and stuff like that. So people were saying that this rule and this rule set in place was to stop big teams from doing so much. But we were doing it and we've seemed to have broke it very, very high fashion. From what we've heard of, we've been over £40 million more than... what Everton would charge for, so it could be a lot worse than some fans may even think.
I mean, who's going to be accountable for it? Who's taking the accountability for it? Is it Top? Is it Rudkin? Is it Whelan? Is it the financial guys? I honestly don't know And I mean, I'm not a big financial bloke, and I know I run a bar and that, but my finances are not as big as a football club finance. So I don't need to know. But like Ivan says here, poor management off the field, allowing players to run down their contracts and leaving in three. And that didn't help, having six
players. I think that's one of the biggest ones, because again, you've got Youri Tielemans bought for what, 20, 30 million down to three. You've got, like I say, this season, you've got Wilfred Ndidi. We obviously bought him quite a few years ago now, but he's out for free. We probably won't even be able to buy him again or even add a new contract to him. So there's so many players we've lost now on a free that's when we did something like with Maddison and we did with Fofana, where we added a new contract to them, even though we knew they were going, it just meant that we were getting some money out of them. Every player should do that to us. Like I say,
I think that's why the EFL have put an embargo on us now, so we can't just sign that bit of paper for us so you've got an extra year on the contract and then we can sell them. I think that's what they've actually done it for. I'm not sure, but I think that is what they've actually done it for. So we can't flog Ndidi for 30 million because he's got another year contract. We can't flog Iheanacho for 10 million or whatever you want to. Whether you get 10 million for Iheanacho is another thing, the way the form's here, unfortunately. A few years ago, you'd have probably got your money back on him. But I think that's why the embargo is there. But really, I know you'll probably talk more about it through the week. It's not looking good being a Leicester fan at the minute, is it, pal?
Well, I said to you before we even went live that either way, if we get promoted, we are in a bad position. If we don't get promoted, we are in even worse position because we won't be able to sign players. We will somewhat have no players that are to high quality in the Championship. But if we do get promoted, from what it looks like with what we've breached and whatnot, if we have done it, which obviously I know Leicester are trying to do this thing where they're going to try and see what they can do to not get as much point deduction. But even if it's 10 points, it's going to be a very, very hard start to the season for us. And just hope that we do get a few wins under the belt at the start of the season.
But I mean, the statements came out on Thursday. I was actually on When You're Smiling podcast with Jack Rafferty on Radio Leicester. And it came out. And it said that the Premier League statement says they've not helped us out. But then the Leicester statement says we've done everything that we possibly can to help them out. So is it one or the other? Is it the Premier League shafting us from one end and the EFL shafting us from the other end? And they're doing a double pincer move on us to get us all the way. I just don't know what's going on.
I feel like, obviously, this is only because of bias to how we think to Leicester. And I feel like both FA, the EFL, and the Premier League are all trying to stick something on us. And this is what I think. Not what I think, because I don't think it can be, but it feels like they're trying to get something to stick to us. Like I said, the EFL were trying to say that we were breaching rules, yet we've only just come down from the Premier League, which we couldn't really do much about. They couldn't do that. Now the Premier League have said we breached rules in the Premier League. And now the EFL have also went, you're doing that in the Premier League, we can't do much about it, so we'll just give you an embargo so you can't get away with it. So they're trying to stick something on us. And either way, we're going to have to deal with it. Even if we are in the Premier League and we've got a 10-point deduction or even more, you've just got to try and run with it. And hopefully you bounce back and get some of the points back. Because again, teams have done it in the past. We've seen, obviously, Forest and we've seen Everton get a point deduction and they're seeming to be okay. Obviously, I know Forest in the relegations at the moment, but whatever happens, we're still going to be Leicester fans, aren't we? Even if we are in the Championship next season and we're not going to get, even if we don't get into the top six next season in the Championship, we're still going to be Leicester fans. We're still going to support them. It's just, it all depends what happens at the end of this season. If we go up, we're happy.
I think they should demote us two divisions, start in League Two, win League Two, win League One, and win League Champion, win the Championship in 3 years, and come straight back up and go nah 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 nah.
Yeah, again, it would be horrible to watch, wouldn't it? But I don't know. Like I say, you see all these Man City's and Chelsea's spending so much money, and they say there's 1 in 15 breaches for Man City, so it's probably going to take a lot longer to find out what the situation with that is going to be. But again, we've just got to ride the times now. The main thing is we've got to get promoted because it will help us out in some way, shape or form. Hopefully we'll get some money to spend in the summer, and hopefully we will bolster the team ready for a season that's already going to be at minus points to start with, if that's the case. So Yeah. They've just got to make sure we get promoted, because if not, it might. People will say that we might be better to stay in the Championship, but we'll be stuck in the Championship if that's the case, because we just won't have any of the players. We'll lose all the big players like Ricardo, Vardy. Obviously, he's out of contract anyway this season. There's so many players that we'll lose. Winks, he's brought in to get us promoted. He's not going to stay. If we stay in the Championship, we are going to be in the Championship for the next 5 to 10 years. So we've got to make sure this is the season we get promoted. And after this international break, it could be a big, big push to go for the last 9 games, because we've got all the big players back. So we've just got to make sure we do what we can.
Don't count your chickens just yet, pal. We've got to wait until the week. I mean, quickly, I mean, you and Sam will do the build-up for the Bristol game and the Norwich game. I think who we got then on Monday, the Bristol and the Norwich game during the week. But it'd be glad, after the last 4 or 5 days we've had, it'd be glad to actually start talking about football again, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. And like Scott says here, how can we bring players in if we have a transfer embargo? That's only if we stay in the Championship. If we go up, I think they can't do anything about it, because we won't be under the EFL rules and EFL, like, anything EFL. If we go to the Premier League, we'll be in the Premier League. We think. But again, all I'm going to say is if they don't allow us to buy players, if we get promoted, then surely that is just very, 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 very unfair on any team that goes from winning or getting promoted in the Championship to getting Premier League, because they're just expecting us to get relegated again.
Yeah,
there's got to be some sort of fairness.
I wouldn't want a 6-point deduction now.
No chance.
It won't be done this year. I think it's physically impossible for it to be sorted out.
The point deduction is down to the Premier League, and we're not in the Premier League, so if that happens only in when we get it. So if we don't get promoted this season, it'll be the next time we get to the Premier League that it'll be deducted, I think.
Yeah. Reedy, I'm gonna love you and leave you. We've gone well over time because we've had such a good show today with Joe, Ben and Glenn. The big boys all came out. The big boys all came out, and then little old me sitting there as well. I felt privileged to have them three big boys there with me. But Reedy, you're doing the fan zone tomorrow night, aren't you, pal?
I am, yes. Taking over Phil for the week, so make sure you get your comments in and get your views in. We've got Tom joining me, I think, so we'll talk a bit more about the Bristol game, and then obviously on Thursday maybe we'll be doing a tactics talk ready for the Bristol game, which, again, like one of the guys said earlier, Friday is going to be a big, big game for everyone.
It really is. I did have the fixtures, but for Friday, I can't remember where they are now, but there's four top games there, which is going to be absolutely... And all four teams are playing at different times, which is going to be one hell of a day.
Well, I'm guessing what I've seen, we're playing first, aren't we? Because it's half 12.
Half 12, yeah. Brilliant. Half 12 there, yeah. Well, you're there, aren't you? You'll be there.
Of course I am, yeah.
Of course you are. Right then, Reedy.
That's what you call pressure, though, isn't it, mate? First game of the week, of the day. That's going to be horrible.
It's like Ben said, the first game of the day sets up the whole day for the other teams. If we lose... if we win, we could go top. But if we lose, and then Ipswich play next, they win, they could go top. And if they lose, Leeds win and we lose. And it's unthinkable, isn't it? It really is unthinkable.
Again, really? Friday's is a big game. So,
cheers, pal. I shall see you through the week. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window, pal.
Yeah, no worries. Cheers, guys.
See you later, mate. Be good. Right, that's it for another week. Much appreciated. For Benjamin Bloom being on, Joe from Just Joe, and Glenn from Total Saints Podcast, Top Four Championship Show. I haven't had things to say for a while, but I am going to say something about the financial fair play that I don't think is fair at all, to be honest. Before we go, I'm just going to say this. The Premier League are destroying smaller clubs by not allowing them to compete with the so-called top six. You're basically telling the other 14 clubs to sell their best players to improve the top six. Just scrap the PSF, whatever it is, the financial fair play bollocks. You're destroying a great brand. And also, you're protecting the top six, and do not give a toss about the rest. Ciao, ciao. Adios. Goodbye. Arrivederci. There goes the final whistle. Come on, you Foxes.
Thanks for watching Leicester Fan TV.
thanks to our sponsors, Everards, Barlow Blinds, Fucker Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Distillers Direct, Hologram, Take Me, Nubian Cow, The Fox's Arms and Rainbows. Run by the fans, for the fans. Follow us on socials at Leicester Fan TV and visit leicesterfantv.com for all the latest news, views and video.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.